Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Monday morning to you on Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Hope you're having a blessed day. Good to be with you, and so much to talk about this morning. Of course, the news continues to break and develop. So far, no public response from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi after the letter issued by Archbishop Corleone on Friday. He issued a letter to her, to his priests, and to the laity in his archdiocese, and in a nutshell, basically saying she is no longer allowed to present herself for reception of the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, unless, of course, she confesses and repudiates her strong stance on abortion. And I put out a statement over the weekend in saying that I thought it was a courageous and pastoral move on the part of the Archbishop, as someone who commentates regularly on all kinds of issues in the Catholic faith. And my Facebook page exploded with, I would say, 95% were positive comments, really encouraging the Archbishop and thanking him, which I think we all should do. But some people, I think, were, as I said on the Sunrise Morning Show this morning with Anna Mitchell, some people, I think, really were not charitable at all toward not only each other, but toward Nancy Pelosi, in the sense that at the end of the day, we are all sinners and we're all children of God. Certainly, we're all frustrated, faithful Catholics and pro-lifers who've been out there, when we see someone who constantly talks out of both sides of her mouth. She says she's devout, and then she is one of the most ardent supporters, not only of legalized abortion through 9 months of pregnancy and beyond, no exceptions, but with other key issues such as marriage. She goes against that as well in terms of openly supporting and encouraging support for so-called same-sex marriage. But we pray for her. We pray for her conversion, and we have to remember that we're all children of God and that God desires that all be saved. So I think it's important the way we express ourselves for our own soul, right? The way we treat each other. They shall know we are Christians by our love. Remember that old hymn. But also remember, the world is watching. And when you're posting on Facebook, unless it's a private message, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. You always want to respect the dignity of the human person, regardless of to whom you're speaking. But the world is watching right now. And if we're out there attacking each other and attacking the bishops and saying they didn't do enough or they should have done it differently, we can disagree. I'm not saying not to disagree or to be Pollyanna about this. But if we're going to have discussions, let's be charitable with each other. Because, number one, it's the right thing to do. Love one another, as we heard in last week's gospel, and be peaceful, as you heard in this week's gospel. But also remember, we're supposed to be witnesses of Christ's love. And I'm trying to do that because sometimes I see the comments and my Italian gets up. So you back away from the computer and you take a breath and you do as our first guest this morning will encourage us to do. Follow in the footprints of some of our great saints, including Saint John of the Cross, the master of contemplation. Who contemplates anymore or discerns? It's a great topic, given what's going on in our culture with social media and the reaction, fast and furious over the weekend, to what's going on with not only Nancy Pelosi, but so much in terms of the pro-life issues. So Father Don Haggerty will be joining us. He is a priest of the Archdiocese of New York, serving at beautiful St. Pat's. He also taught moral theology and has worked for many years as a spiritual director in seminaries for actually some 20 years. And then we're going to spend the rest of the show, I'm so grateful for the time of Bishop Paprocki from Springfield, Illinois. He's a canon lawyer and has an excellent background in helping us understand what the Church teaches on the Eucharist. And he's going to dive into that with us this morning. And we're going to give Gail Buckley the day off. He comes on at the bottom of the hour, 9:30 Eastern time. He'll be with us until right before 10 o'clock to discuss this at length. He's one of the bishops who quickly responded positively, affirming Archbishop Corleone's pastoral efforts to reach out to Nancy Pelosi and really just the concern he has for one of his flock's souls. So much to discuss today in a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. As far as the weather is concerned, let's take a look at the national weather forecast. We are moving into, if you can believe it, already the unofficial start of summer, Memorial Day weekend, a long weekend coming up. Let's see what's happening. Developing storm across the southern plains is forecast to bring severe weather including large hail and damaging wind gusts, heavy rainfall that could result in some flooding and possibly some flash flooding. This is across portions of the Plains and Mississippi Valley. And the effects of the storm will continue through the middle of the week. Hopefully, though, it will clear up by Memorial Day so we can have a relaxing weekend, at least weather-wise. Right now, it is just about 5 minutes past the hour. A lot of news to get through, as you can imagine. Father Don Haggerty joining us and the Bishop of Springfield, Illinois, Bishop Pabrocki, who's also a canon lawyer. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Let's see what's happening in and around the world in the news on your Monday. Well, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone announcing on Friday House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as Catholic News Agency reports, should not be admitted to Holy Communion in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, nor should she present herself to receive the Eucharist until she publicly repudiates her support for abortion. He said on Friday the step was pastoral and came after Pelosi, a Democrat from California who has repeatedly described herself as a devout Catholic, also repeatedly rebuffed his efforts to reach out to her to talk about abortion advocacy. His instructions apply, though, only within the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Other bishops have jurisdiction over such matters when Pelosi is in Washington and other dioceses around the country. He said after numerous attempts to speak with her to help her understand the grave evil she is perpetrating, the scandal she is causing, and the danger to her own soul she is risking, I have determined that the point has come in which I must make a public declaration that she not be admitted to Holy Communion unless and until she publicly repudiates her support for abortion rights and confesses and receives absolution for her cooperation in this evil in the sacrament of penance. Shortly after the letter was made public, as we mentioned earlier, a number of bishops came out in support of Corleone's statements, among them Bishop Pabrocki of Springfield, a canon lawyer who will be joining us at the bottom of the hour to discuss this in detail. So far, no public response after the San Francisco Archbishop's letter went out on Friday. The Archbishop said he had warned her last month not to use her Catholic faith in justifying her stance on abortion. Pope Francis talking about the life issues again yesterday in Rome, offering comments defending the dignity of life. The Holy Father is saying, sadly, there's been a change in the common mentality. And today, he says, we are more and more led to think that life is a good at our complete disposal, that we can choose to manipulate, to give birth, or take life as we please, as if, he said, it were the exclusive consequence of individual choice. The comments, says Catholic News Agency explains, coming after he offered a reflection on the Lord's words to the disciples at the Last Supper in yesterday's Gospel reading from John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. The Holy Father said that no one can leave others in peace if they do not have it within themselves. Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher concluding his mission to Ukraine, describing the importance of the ecumenical spirit in rebuilding the peace of future Ukraine. He explains that at a time like this in any country, there is also the danger of rivalries beginning to grow and resentment toward one another.
Ukraine at this moment has many needs. Much of these needs, you know, the churches have helped enormously. I've heard great praise for Caritas, great praise for what the diocese and the parishes and the bishops have done, both Greek Catholics and Latin Catholics here. So that's something to be very, very proud of. And there's also been great recognition of the great work done by Poland and their extraordinary generosity, both in receiving refugees and in sending humanitarian aid to the Ukraine. But we need to move forward. That sustaining of Ukraine needs to continue. We need to help them. We need to encourage them. We need to help them to always remain optimistic and faithful and to remain, make every effort that in the conduct of this conflict, that the values of this people, which are profoundly Christian, should prevail.
Ukraine, he also said, must walk a little like Mary Magdalene in the garden to encounter the risen Christ. He said only this can dry the tears of the people. Archbishop Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States, traveling to Kyiv on Friday. That was the third day of his visit to the war-torn nation of Ukraine. The U.S., meanwhile, should consider the possibility of Russia using nuclear weapons in Ukraine.
He's obviously spoken to this. I think we need to make sure that we consider it as a possibility.
That's according to former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mike Mullen, appearing on ABC's This Week. He noted that such weapons are part of Russia's arsenal, and President Vladimir Putin is feeling cornered. The retired Navy admiral describing them as the most devastating weapons ever created. Mullen noting that Sweden and Finland were willing to break decades of neutrality to join NATO as a result of their growing concern about the Russian threat. A new report claims leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention work to cover up sex abuse claims against clergy. An investigation carried out by an independent contracting firm found abuse survivors were met with resistance, stonewalling, and even outright hostility by leaders from America's largest Protestant denomination for more than two decades. The report also found leaders resisted calls for abuse prevention and reform. A Southern California congregation returning to church following that mass shooting last Sunday. That tragedy leaving five people of the Irvine Taiwanese Presbyterian Church shot and led to the death of Dr. John Chang. He is credited with saving the lives of people after tackling the gunman. Authorities say the Chinese immigrant alleged to have been the shooter targeted the church due to politically motivated hate of the Taiwanese community. The Biden administration will not be lifting the border restriction known as Title 42 today. A Louisiana federal court judge on Friday ruling the public health order put in place by the Trump administration early in the COVID virus must continue. Title 42 allowing the federal government to turn away migrants, including those seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border due to health concerns. Senator Rick Scott says the Biden administration has been slow to respond to economic woes and high inflation.
The expectation is that whoever the president is gets ahead of the problems rather than behind the problem.
Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, the Florida Republican saying inflation is a key issue in the upcoming midterms and that it will not bode well for Democrats but will bode well for Republicans given their consistent messaging on how to combat it. Scott citing balancing budgets, watching spending, and also working on issues regarding solutions for China. Gas prices are just shy of $4.60 a gallon to start the work week. That is according to AAA, and there's no change in the extremes in terms of state gas prices. The statewide average in California is still $6.06 a gallon, the cheapest place to fill up in Oklahoma, where a gallon is going for $4.03, and that's as of this morning. Americans are growing more pessimistic, meanwhile, about the state of the economy. A new CBS YouGov poll finding 77% of Americans said they were pessimistic about the cost of goods and services. That's an increase from 70% in September of 2021. Meanwhile, 68% saying they were pessimistic about the national economy. 67% were pessimistic about the stock market. The poll, however, found 53% were optimistic about efforts to curb the coronavirus, and about 52% were optimistic about jobs. Almost 14 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. It is May 23rd, 2022. Looking forward to catching up with our guest this morning, beginning with, right after the break, Father Donald Hegarty. He is at St. Pat's in New York. He's a priest there in the Archdiocese of New York, and he's taught moral theology and worked as a spiritual director in seminaries for many, many years. And his latest book is from our friends at Ignatius Press, St. John of the Cross, Master of Contemplation. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely assents to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. It is a Monday morning. It's May 23rd, 2022, and so much to talk about today, and we're working on getting Father Haggerty on with us. He's not answering his phone, so we'll just keep trying. He could be busy. Something could have happened. Hey, it's live radio, and things happen, so we always leave that open, and if he calls in, that's great. If not, I think this is a great opportunity just to talk about what we're going to be discussing a little bit later on in the program. Actually, at the bottom of the hour, we've got several segments with Bishop Poprocki of Springfield, Illinois, and I'm really excited that he's on with us. He's a great bishop. He's wonderfully solid and just a really very nice, gentle person. I had the opportunity to speak with him recently at an event in Rome. It was great to see him again. And he also is an expert in canon law. He has quite an extensive background in canon law, so I thought it would be perfect to have him come on and talk about the situation with Archbishop Corleone's letter that went out on Friday, not only to Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, but also to priests in the Archdiocese of San Francisco and to the lady. Now, for all the details, go to, of course, our many, many news sources, including the Catholic News Agency, the Register, and then, of course, EWTN News Nightly. Al Cresta covered this extensively, talking to our very own Dr. Matthew Bunsen on Friday. Matthew was on with Anna Mitchell this morning, and we're going to kind of dissect this with Bishop Poprocki coming up in about 10 minutes at the bottom of the hour, and then he's going to stay with us till 10 o'clock because this is so important. This morning on my Two Cents segment and also on my In the News segment that Vanessa Denha-Garmo and I do once a week, we were talking about the importance of being witnesses and also using this as an educational opportunity. And I don't mean just an educational opportunity for the media, who consistently get it wrong. We talked about that on Friday. But it's an educational opportunity for all of us. How much do we know about the Eucharist? And do we really understand what the Church teaches regarding the proper reception of the Eucharist and why the Church says we have to be in a state of grace and we go to receive the body and blood of Christ? Could we explain that to someone? The Catholic Church is so deep and so beautiful that we can spend our entire lives studying it and just really at the end, if we're given the gift of life through, let's say, 100 years, you still would just be scratching the surface. It is that beautiful in terms of the teachings that we have, in terms of the saints, in terms of the history, in terms of what the Church has given the world, as Al Cresta talks about in one of his many books. And so this is an opportunity for all of us to make sure that we are understanding the importance of what we're supposed to be doing with this incredible gift of the Eucharist, which the Church says is a source and summit of our faith. So yes, it's an opportunity to educate and to respectfully reach out to others in terms of helping them understand if they think that this is a wrong move by the Archbishop or that he's being mean or that he's being political. This is an opportunity to speak up respectfully, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense, but do it with gentleness and reverence. But also, again, I always say, okay, what do I need to know more deeply to make sure that I'm understanding it? I can explain it to myself when I take it to prayer and affirm it, but also with other people. I was mentioning on the Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell this morning about some of the comments on Facebook. I'm sure your Facebook page probably exploded, and if you looked at any of the Catholic Facebook pages out there with various sources, it was just going crazy. I put a statement out on Friday, a press release out, affirming what the Archbishop did, and had a huge response. I mean, almost immediately were thousands of likes and hundreds of comments. And I would say for the most part, I would say the vast majority of people were very respectful. But there were a few, and I noticed there was some of this infighting going on back and forth. And it got into a dialogue about the reception of the Eucharist. And we can talk about that. But I think when we talk about these teachings, and when we're doing this in a public place, first of all, though, as I said earlier, it's important for us to treat each other kindly because we're called to do that, period, right? They shall know we are Christians by our love. So attacking people is never going to have a good response. But also remember that we are witnesses to the faith. And if you're too emotional or it's getting under your skin, back away. Back away from the computer, back away from the phone, put it down, say a prayer, come back later and comment, or maybe don't comment at all. And gently explain to people. Because we are witnessing to our faith, and who's going to want to join a church where everybody is yelling at each other? There's enough yelling out there in the world. Just turn on the TV for crying out loud. This is an opportunity for us to witness on so many levels that the Lord has handed us. I mean, if you look at the demeanor of Archbishop Corleone, he's one of the most peaceful. I've had a chance to interview him in person and meet him in person. He's very peaceful. He's very contemplative. He really thinks about things. And he took years to make this decision. And some people are saying, oh, it's about time, blah, blah, blah. It should have been. Okay, well, who are we to figure that out? It's a very, and this is what I think Bishop Pepperocki will shed a lot of light upon. The process of doing this, and I'm just sharing with you what I've learned over the years in terms of interviewing bishops, in terms of interviewing a lot of canon law experts, and also going through 5 years of formation with my husband and hearing what people have to say about these things and understanding it. It's very complicated. And he gave her chance after chance after chance after chance. Catholic News Agency had a story on Friday that there were at least 10 times in recent months or year, I think maybe in the last 2 years, that she has been out there claiming she's a devout Catholic, while at the same time she's saying those words, following those up with why she strongly supports abortion through 9 months and beyond. You can't do that. That's like saying you love your children, but then you don't take care of your children. Saying one thing and doing the exact opposite. So yes, it's very, very frustrating, but at the end of the day, we pray for all people to turn their lives around. So many people have done a complete turnaround. People who that were so far off that you never in a million years would think. And look at our church history. The St. Augustines, the St. Peters, so many of our saints totally turned around in terms of embracing. St. Paul, for crying out loud, was going around watching the killing of Christians. And his whole, you know, goal was to go after the people of the way until he had that very, very challenging moment on the road to Damascus. So Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians, becomes Paul, right? So we pray, and we pray, and we pray, And we do what we can, what God is calling each of us to do in terms of our own embracing of the faith, understanding of the faith. And yes, we can certainly engage and witness, but when we do it with peace. Pace, as they say in Latin and Italian. Being a witness that way. Remember that old Christian hymn, "They shall know we are Christians by our love"? And yes, we are. There's a lot of righteous anger that goes on because we've been fighting this battle out there for more than 50 years. And it's very frustrating, I know. But think about the good that could come out of someone like a Nancy Pelosi converting. Doesn't seem very probable right now, I know, but it happened to Dr. Bernard Nathanson. It happened to Abby Johnson. It happened to Norma McCorvey, the Roe of Roe v. Wade. And it could happen to Nancy Pelosi and any one of us if we are strong enough and pray hard enough and if we exhibit peace. We'll be right back. Bishop Pabraki is up next.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Some great people have shown respect for God. Can I read you a little quotation from Albert Einstein, who many times showed a great respect for religion and was one of the great admirers of Pope Pius XII for his stand against the Holocaust during the Second World War. Einstein wrote, "The fairest thing we can experience is the mysterious, is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of all true art and science. A knowledge of the existence of something we can't penetrate, of the manifestations of the profoundest reason and the most radiant beauty, which are only accessible to our minds in the most elementary form. It is this knowledge and this emotion that constitute the truly religious attitude." Oh my, so beautifully said.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
What is the great mystery of the Christian faith? It is, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even though the resurrection is an historical fact professed by the apostles and signified by the empty tomb, no one knows the exact hour Jesus emerged from the tomb. There were no eyewitnesses to describe the actual moment, only the result, the live appearances of Jesus to his disciples. It is an event that transcends and surpasses history, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The three persons of the Trinity, using their individual characteristics, acted as one in bringing about the resurrection. God the Father raised up the Son. God the Holy Spirit gave life to Jesus' dead humanity and called it to the glorious state of lordship. The Son effects his own resurrection by virtue of his divine power. He predicted the Passion and declared that he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's 28 minutes past the hour. We'll get back to Father Haggerty. Couldn't make it with us this morning for whatever reason. Another time we'll talk about his brand new book on St. John of the Cross, Master of Contemplation. But I'm so blessed, and I know you will be too, to hear from the voice of one of our shepherds, an amazing leader, and he serves as a bishop of the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois. And his name is Bishop Thomas Pabraki, and he also has a background, an extensive background, in addition to all the amazing work that he does in the Diocese of Springfield in canon law, and was one of the first bishops to come out and support the letter from Archbishop Corleone in San Francisco to Nancy Pelosi and also to the priests and to the lady. Your Excellency, thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, and let me get your thoughts. I know you were one of the first to respond positively on Twitter to Archbishop Corleone's letter to Nancy Pelosi.
Well, first, I think it's important to point out how very meticulous Archbishop Corleone was with this and how patient he's been with Speaker Pelosi. I mean, this is not something that he did in a snap decision. He is well documented in his letter to the public. He wrote also to his priests to let them know about this. And he really showed how he's been going to great pains to meet with her. He has met with her several times over the years, but in the past several months, apparently, she's just been ignoring his requests of either to meet or even to respond to letters that he sent her. So I think he finally reached a point in terms of saying, well, if she's not going to respond to me, I have to make some public statement on this. So he did announce last week then, he said, put a tweet out and then a more formal statement, but saying, you know, after numerous attempts to speak with Speaker Pelosi and help her understand the great evil she's perpetrating and the scandal she's causing and the danger to her own soul. So all these are all the things that he's looking out for. Then he says, I've determined that she is not to be admitted to Holy Communion. So I saw that and came out with my own statement that said, I fully support and earnestly commend Archbishop Corleone's action in regard to Speaker Pelosi. And then I made this reference, which refers to some of the conditions in canon law. All politicians who promote abortion should not receive Holy Communion until they have repented, repaired scandal, and been reconciled to Christ and the Church.
There was, as you know, and by the way, if you're just joining us on a Monday morning, we're talking to Bishop Thomas Paprocki of Springfield, Illinois, who's also a canon lawyer, discussing what happened on Friday with Archbishop Corleone and Nancy Pelosi, the letter to her regarding her situation with reception of the Holy Eucharist. There's a lot of criticism, of course, and not only actually out there in the culture, but even within the Church, Your Excellency, saying that the Archbishop waited too long. But my point at the top of the hour, and even in my segment just a few minutes ago before you joined us, was that this is not something that you do quickly. I mean, this takes a lot of thought and a lot of discernment, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it just shows how pastoral Archbishop Corleone is being with this. And on the one hand, he's being criticized that this took too long. On the other hand, he's being criticized that somehow he's defying the Vatican in doing this, which also is just patently false. I just think he is shown the proper steps. I mean, the Vatican did say there was a letter from Archbishop, or rather Cardinal Ladario, who's the prefect for the congregation congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, saying that, you know, in these cases the bishop should reach out to the politician and talk to that person and try to resolve this, and that's exactly what he's done. And so you can't do that overnight, and I don't think he should be faulted for being careful and trying to be pastoral and giving her every opportunity to convert, because that's what this is ultimately all about. This is not trying to punish her and inflict pain on her. It's to try to get her and other politicians who are espousing this pro-abortion agenda to have a change of heart and to come back to the practice of the faith. So in canon law, we call that a medicinal remedy. Censures and although this is not technically a canonical penalty, it's a measure that's designed to be medicinal in the sense of trying to bring her back to the proper practice of the faith.
And I know there has been a criticism on him saying he's making it political, and my response to that is actually it's Nancy Pelosi and Biden and others who act like her, who claim to be Catholic, and then on the one hand turn around and do everything they can in their power to fight what the Church teaches legally, trying to enforce and codify, as she most recently did with the Roe v. Wade, make codifying it into law, working with Chuck Schumer to try to get that passed a few weeks ago. And they're the ones who are politicizing it and also weaponizing it.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're the ones that you know, both Speaker Pelosi and President Biden have you know, they go out of their way to talk about how devout they are in their Catholic faith. Well, devout Catholics don't espouse abortion, and so they're contradicting their own words with that. So, you know, I don't think Archbishop Corleone is making any political statement here. He's you know, the same thing I think would apply if Nancy Pelosi belonged to the other party. I don't think there would have been any difference in this action. So it's not a question of partisan politics. It's a question of dealing with a member of his flock that is publicly promoting teachings that are contrary to Catholic faith.
And there's a bishop, I think, in the Diocese of Santa Rosa, whose name escapes me right now, but he came out very quickly and said that he supports Archbishop Corleone, and apparently Nancy Pelosi has a vacation home in that area of California, and he's instructed priests also not to allow her to receive communion unless she obviously confesses and repudiates abortion, as Archbishop Corleone indicated. How is this followed out, then, from a canon law perspective, Your Excellency? Because the priests are given that directive, and so if they defy it, they're going against their bishop or their archbishop, and they're being disobedient. But what about those priests who disagree and may try to do something? There's nothing. Is it a difficult situation to control, do you think, from a perspective and on the ground there at the parish level?
Well, it is outside of his own archdiocese. So here you have a case that's, as you're referring to, Bishop Robert Vasha.
Yes, that's
Bishop
who it is.
Santa
Thank you.
Rosa
yeah.
in California. And so he's basically saying, well, Archbishop Corleone is the archbishop. He's the proper ordinary for Nancy Pelosi. So if he has told her not to receive communion, he will respect that in his diocese as well. So I think that's very good, and I hope other bishops will do the same. With that regard, you know, if there is a priest that goes ahead and gives her Holy Communion, if it's in his own diocese, not just a priest, it's actually Canon 915 would be directed really to any minister of Holy Communion.
Right, okay. So Eucharistic ministers as well, yeah.
Yeah, extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, because the way it's written, it says that they, those who obstinately persevere and manifest grave sin are not to be admitted to Holy Communion. So that is really kind of directed to the person giving Holy Communion. Whereas the next canon, 915, talks about those who are conscious of grave sin should not receive Holy Communion. So that really puts the burden on that person. That should be the first step, really. The person who's espousing this should say, okay, I realize that what I'm doing is not in communion with the church, and therefore I shouldn't go to communion. But mm-hmm. if they go ahead anyway, then that puts the burden more on the minister of Holy Communion. So if it's someone in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, the archbishop can take action. Outside of his archdiocese, it depends on that local bishop.
Yeah. More with Bishop Thomas Pabrocki from Springfield, Illinois. He's a canon lawyer talking to us about the courageous decision and efforts from Archbishop Corleone in San Francisco, trying repeatedly to reach out to Nancy Pelosi regarding her staunch abortion support, and sent a letter to her Friday saying she can no longer receive communion. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When you talk about the Reformation, you often hear it talk of five solas: sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia, solus Christus, and soli Deo gloria. Catholics have no serious problem with solus Christus or sola gratia. The problems are with sola scriptura and sola fide. Catholics will maintain that sola scriptura, scripture alone, is itself unscriptural. Where in scripture does scripture refer to itself as the only infallible authority that we have? It's also illogical to say that you stand on scripture alone presupposes that you know what scripture is. And frankly, we don't know what scripture is because it's a tradition that we've inherited. We don't establish it. We know what counts as Holy Scripture because Catholic bishops detected that certain texts were inspired by God.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Nine minutes past the hour, having a very important discussion, and the bishop reminded me this during the break, that it's really important that we're having this national discussion right now, given the emphasis on the Eucharist and the Eucharistic revival coming up, of course, Corpus Christi, feast day not far away. Bishop Thomas Pabrocki, he has a very long and very impressive resume, extensive education in canon law. He is a canon lawyer, and he's joining us this morning from his Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, to talk about the actions of Archbishop Corleone on Friday, really caring for the soul of one of his flock, Nancy Pelosi, whom he repeatedly reached out to over the years and really tried to sit down with her and talk to her about this and what she was doing to her own soul and also the scandal that she was causing, but she rebuffed him repeatedly. So it's a very important step that he took. And interesting you said that, Your Excellency, during the break we were talking about this national conversation with this Eucharistic revival that we're having and things that are going on this summer. Let's focus on that for a minute. Go ahead. Let me share your thoughts on that.
Well, yes, I think this is very providential in a way, because I've seen this reported in the headlines and in the news stories of the secular media outlets, the national media outlets. They're talking about who should be receiving Holy Communion. And so it's bringing national attention to that, which is very timely, because the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has announced that we're going to be having this Eucharistic revival, which is going to actually be starting next month on June 19th. Parishes throughout the country are urged, that's the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, the celebration of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to have Corpus Christi processions. And to walk through the streets, carrying the Blessed Sacrament as a reminder that Christ is present in the midst of the world, and not just hidden away in the private spheres of people's hearts, but the Lord is to be brought in a very public way into the world. So that with this Eucharistic revival is an opportunity for all of us to reflect on the Eucharist itself and our own preparation and receiving the sacraments. That's we shouldn't just be kind of looking at politicians from afar like Nancy Pelosi and say, I'm glad that the church is dealing with her. We should look into our own hearts and each one of us. I think there are probably many people that should be reexamining their consciences and going to confession before they receive Holy Communion if they're in a state of grave sin. But all of this is leading up then. We're going to have a national Eucharistic Congress in July of 2024. At the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. So we're hoping to get like 70,000 people to come out there and celebrate this national celebration of the Eucharist. So this is the next couple of years are really a great time for us to be focusing and reflecting on the meaning of the Eucharist and being properly disposed to receive the Blessed Sacrament.
We're talking with Bishop Thomas Fabrocchi from the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, regarding the reception of Eucharist and the whole discussion on the importance of the source and summit of our faith. Your Excellency, do you think, and we were chatting about this during the break, or are you hoping that this will have an effect on other bishops speaking out regarding troublesome Catholic politicians or Catholics, or politicians who call themselves Catholics and act so brazenly against core teachings of the Church?
Yes, I certainly am hopeful that other bishops will be heartened by this and encouraged to take similar action where it's warranted, and because I think it's also going to become necessary if indeed the Supreme Court issues its decision, Dobbs versus Jackson, that will overturn Roe versus Wade, that will turn the issue back to the states. And since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was decided on January 22nd of that year. That's why we were doing the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. On the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Well, I think the focus is going to shift now to the states. So very pro-abortion states like Illinois. We're already talking here about we've done it already, but in actually increasing the attention on our pro-life marches here in our state capital in Springfield. I think the same will be true in Albany, New York, and in Sacramento, California, and other states that are very strongly pro-abortion, that this will be a time for us to look at what's happening in our own states. And so here in Illinois, for example, we had some very strong pro-abortion legislation passed. And in 2019, I told the Speaker of the House of the Illinois General Assembly and the President of the Illinois Senate that they could not receive Holy Communion, both Catholic and both supported and were strong proponents for the pro-abortion bill. So I told them by name and I reminded others who are pro-abortion that they should not be receiving Holy Communion also. So this is, I don't think it could or should just stop with the politicians at the national level. We have to look and see what's happening at the local levels too.
There is a lot of discussion that I saw on social media, including my own Facebook page, about excommunication How does that apply here? Don't they excommunicate themselves by their actions? Or what is the, is this automatically an excommunication, what the Archbishop said? Or what does canon law say about that, Your Excellency?
Well, there are arguments in terms of excommunication, the automatic excommunication, those who are in heresy or schismatic or apostates, those are very technical terms. So people who are heretics, they deny the faith or some aspect of the faith. A schismatic is someone who disobeys church authority. Renounces church authority, and an apostate is someone who just simply abandons the faith. So, I mean, there are arguments made for that. I mean, and it's an automatic excommunication because someone could, in their own thoughts, be a heretic, and nobody ever knows it. And so that's, in a sense, why the church says, well, in that case, you sort of excommunicated yourself. The church does have the possibility of having, you know, a church authority like the Archbishop declare somebody to be excommunicated, but that's a more involved process that involves a canonical trial. And I think that I think what Archbishop Corleone is doing is a first step, you know, the step of saying you shouldn't receive Holy Communion. You know, he has hinted himself. Last year, he wrote a pastoral letter, and he made reference to the Archbishop of New Orleans back in the 1960s, Archbishop Joseph Rummel, who excommunicated several segregationists.
Yeah, I remember that letter that he wrote.
Politicians. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, I mean, he's kind of hinting that, maybe somewhere down the line, if it's not sufficient to tell them to they can't receive Holy Communion, well, maybe the excommunication question has to be looked at, but again, I think he's being very methodical and meticulous and just taking this one step at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Bishop Thomas Paprocki from the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, who's also an experienced canon lawyer. We talked about excommunication. The other issue I think that a lot of people are asking about, I saw this question come up, and I think it's important for people to understand that the USCCB, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, cannot issue a declaration or a statement as a whole. This is up to the individual bishop in the individual diocese or archdiocese, correct?
Right, and in that regard, I think people misunderstand the role of the United States Conference
exactly.
of Catholic Bishops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a federal governmental authority. Like the bishops are not accountable to the president of the USCCB. A bishop is accountable actually to the Holy Father. And so the USCCB is really more just of a conference where we get together. And so like the document that we issued last year on Eucharistic coherence was to set out the principles and the teaching. But then it's up to each individual bishop to apply that in his own diocese.
Some of the comments are interesting where someone said that it was on my Facebook page, this is a private matter between the Archbishop and one of his flock. And I didn't even have to respond because several of my followers responded quite well in explaining that, well, actually, Nancy Pelosi is the one who made this a very, very public matter because she constantly is referring to herself as a devout Catholic in the same breath and sentence when she's endorsing abortion to the nth degree.
Right. I mean, she could have kept this public by not calling attention to the fact that, you know, she's a Catholic who's receiving communion despite being pro-abortion. She could have also avoided any publicity by responding privately to the Archbishop's attempts to meet with her. And, you know, when he told her she couldn't receive Holy Communion, she could have, if she was not willing to change her views, she could have privately just accepted that and said, okay, I just won't go to communion. And that there would not have needed to be anything public on this, but I think she's the one that's really brought it in the public sphere or forced the issue.
And it's interesting, one of the newspapers on the West Coast, I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle, I was telling you earlier when we were chatting during the break, that they said that Archbishop Corleone must be removed because Nancy Pelosi has done so much for health care and to feed the poor and the vulnerable. I'm like, well, who's more vulnerable, first of all, than the unborn? But again, this reveals how much people, especially in the media, do not know about what the church teaches. Health care, feeding the poor, important, yes, but those are prudential matters about which we as Catholics may disagree on how they are to be supported, explained, carried out. Abortion has been and always will be intrinsically evil, and the media either don't understand that, have not been exposed to the church teaching, or don't want to understand that.
Well, yes, I thought that was almost laughable to see that, as if the secular newspaper has some idea of what the qualifications, what a bishop should be doing in his job. The other thing I've seen in this is how somehow there are attempts here to somehow portray Archbishop Corleone as defying the Vatican or defying the Holy Father, and they're referring back to some remarks that he said on an airplane on his trip back from Bratislava last year. You know, first of all, comments on an airplane don't change church teaching.
Right.
You know, and so when he says something like, for example, that Holy Communion is not a prize for the perfect, that's true. But and you know, it's not a prize for the perfect, but a remedy for the sinners is what he said. Well, that's true. We believe, but you have to get a little more into the teaching of that. So the church does, in fact, teach that Holy Communion forgives venial sins, and so it does forgive sins. We're not perfect when we receive Holy Communion, but the Church also teaches, and it's very clear that if you are in the state of mortal sin, that you have to go to confession and be reconciled before you can receive Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that if you look at the full transcript of the Pope's remarks on that flight, he also said some very strong things about politicians who support abortion or outside the community. And he's the one that even brought up the word excommunication. He was suggesting that, he says, then those who are not in the community cannot receive communion, out of the community, excommunicated. It's a harsh word, but they don't belong in the community because they were not baptized or because they are estranged from it.
Right.
So then he referred to the abortion issue, saying that it's more than a problem. It's homicide. No middle terms. Whomever does an abortion kills. I mean, those are really strong words from the Holy Father.
Well, he also related it to another occasions. He said abortion is like hiring a hitman to solve a problem.
Right. Right, exactly. So, you know, the idea that somehow Archbishop Corleone or any bishop who takes actions like this is opposed to the Holy Father defying the Vatican, I think that's just ludicrous.
Yeah. Your Excellency, I really appreciate your time and your knowledge on this topic, given your background, not only as a great bishop, but in canon law. As we wrap up, we have about a minute and a half left. Encourage us. What do we do with this? And you mentioned, obviously, looking toward the Eucharistic Congress, looking toward this revival, looking at ourselves, examining our own conscience in terms of understanding the beauty and the importance of the Eucharist. What else can we do to be witnesses of peace, as it said in the Gospel yesterday?
Well, I think to remember that ultimately the Eucharist is the sacrament of love. This is in the sacrament of the Eucharist, is, the Lord it gives himself to us. He comes into our hearts, and that's his gift of love to us. But then we also return our love to the Lord and to each other. It's communion with God and communion with our brothers and sisters. So the Eucharist should be something that we are aware that when we share in the Eucharist, we are showing love, and that so it, you know, in terms of something like abortion, someone who is promoting abortion is not showing love towards unborn human life, to the babies in the womb, and you know, so I think to reflect on the connection, and rather than be fighting about the Eucharist, we should reflect that it is the sacrament of love, and make sure that we have love in our not only in our hearts but in our actions, our thoughts, our words, and deeds, so that we can truly be properly disposed to receive the Holy Eucharist. So I think that would be a big help for us as we approach this Eucharistic revival.
Amen. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I know how busy you are as a bishop, and the fact that you spent three segments with us this morning, extended time, I really, really appreciate it. I know our listeners do too. Where do we find you online, Your Excellency, if folks want to comment on your Facebook page or send you a thank you note?
Oh, they can go to our way.
Diocesan website, dio.org,
or my Facebook page is or Twitter at Bishop Caprocki.
God bless you. Thanks for your great leadership, and we'll be right back on a Monday morning on Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe. You're listening to EWTN.
When you see the world with Catholic eyes, you see God's hand at work in human history. You see the true, the good, and the beautiful. With a Master's of Arts in Catholic Studies from Franciscan University of Steubenville, you see the world as it truly is. This online program helps you see art, literature, theology, psychology, and more as occasions for grace. Find out more about the Master's in Catholic Studies at franciscan.edu/MCS. That's franciscan.edu/MCS.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study. Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic healthcare option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
Thank you so much for tuning in to EWTN Catholic Connection. This program, of course, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. And tune in tomorrow for more discussion regarding the Eucharist and much more. Have a great Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.